First is number 22-1642, Caravan Canopy International. This is Z-Shade Company Limited. Mr. Lobin.
Good morning. Thank you, Your Honors. May it please the Court. This case, Your Honor, in appellant's considered opinion, is one where we really need to construe the claims of the patented issue in a way that preserves the validity of those claims. And the support for that is in the claims themselves. As this Court knows, we're to first look to decipher the meaning of patent claims. And the Board, in its construction, acknowledged that the claims at issue here, just three, and really just claim one, the only independent claim of the 040 patent, and frankly, the opening clause of that claim, one, which is really the only part of the claim that we contend provides the Board and this Court with the claim language to support the validity, which the Board would not, concluded to the opposite, of course, which is why we're here on appeal. And so, certainly the my client Caravan, the appellant, didn't invent a tent. They didn't invent a tent with a collapsible frame. Tents have been around forever. But what they did invent, and which what the prior art does not show, and what appellee has acknowledged, the primary reference, the Yang reference doesn't show, is what's claimed in the first clause of Claim 1. A center pole in the tent constructed for stretching and sustaining a tent's roof when a tent is pitched with the tent frame.
Why isn't Lynch, the prior reference Lynch, meet that particular limitation?
Well, the Board used Lynch as the secondary reference to complete the obviousness analysis.
So you have one reference that meets, discloses an instant tent frame.
Correct.
And that, would you agree that that pretty much reads on your particular claim other than the center pole? And that's
clause that I read.
Lynch, and that's disclosed by Lynch.
Yes, but as this Court knows, that doesn't end the inquiry in an obviousness case. Now, both Yang and Lynch are prior tent frames. This is not complicated technology that we're talking about here. They're prior tent frames, neither of which shows the key element here, which is the stretching of the tent itself over the frame to add a structural significance. Now, anyone can go out and put a pole and lay a bed sheet over it, you've got a tent. But the only force acting there on the tent is gravity. And that's what's going on in both Yang and Lynch. There's no disclosure in those references of a center pole adding the dimension of the stretching and sustaining the tent frame, which, as you may imagine, if you go and try to knock over a tent that only is held together by the force of gravity, there's going to be the tent itself will fall over or roll in the wind, but when you've got that tent stretch.
You're not challenging the two prior references that were relied on. Your argument is one of motivation to combine, that there's no reason as to why Opposa would have combined both of those references.
And I apologize, Your Honor. I should clarify exactly what my arguments are.
That's your argument.
Well, several arguments, any of which may result in a reversal. Claim construction, an issue this Court reviews de novo. Here, we had the Board say this term at issue was to be read in the context of the invention by its plain and ordinary meaning. Now, there's evidence in the record of the Board concluding what that plain and ordinary meaning was, which resulted in the obviousness ruling. So first, we argue against the claim construction of the Board. Second, we argue that the Board did not treat Caravan's evidence fairly before the Board by relying on the expert provided by the appellee and by discounting the evidence expert declaration provided by the my client. Third, so an evidentiary issue that the board misapprehended the evidence. First, claim instruction. Second, misapprehended the evidence. Third, the board should not have considered the evidence and argument that FLE put into before the board on reply, because the proceedings in the before the board on an IPR are supposed to be full and complete in the petition itself. Now, of course, there are exceptions where, you know, the reply argument is simply elaborating on the arguments presented in the petition, but here we have an entirely new reply declaration from the expert of the petitioner before the board. We have the board relying specifically on the reply declaration of the expert of the petitioner in its final written decision. And we have deposition testimony admitting by the petitioner's expert that the motivation to combine, and let me find that, he admitted in his deposition that increased space for activities, a passage that was lifted from the Yang reference and cited in the petition, is related to underlying structure. And that's the key here, not canopy height, because it's achieved in Yang by removing a pillar going to the ground that occupies space in the main body of the tent. So that's a long-winded answer, Judge Reyna, to your question. But we challenge several aspects. First, claim construction. Second, the board's ability to consider evidence and argument on reply. Third, I reordered them here. Third, the weighing and considering of the evidence in view of this court's advice to construe
so,
the...
Counselor, so when we get down a little bit lower into the weeds here, your argument is that stretching should be construed as tension or to make taut. The board construed the term stretching according to its plain and ordinary meaning as extending or spreading out. Extending or spreading out is referenced in the specification 11 times.
Yes.
That seems to me to be some pretty powerful evidence against your argument.
Well, I didn't write the patent, Judge Rain, if I had none. Joking. The patent was not written as perfectly as we would like. However, to go back to my argument, in context of this invention, what is a tent? It's a material draped over a frame. So, gravity, right? Force of gravity will stretch whatever is laid over it because it's pulling down. However, stretching is also a particular kind of force. Because if you put a bed sheet over a tent frame, that's not stretching. It's just laying there. Obviously, there's a little force of gravity that's pulling those fibers apart very slightly. But that's not stretching. What we have here is stretching like a hamstring. Stretch your hamstring. The reason you're creating tension there because it's fixed on one end by your back of your knee. It's fixed on the other end higher up. And you've got stretching. Gravity's not stretching, but there is force of gravity operating on it. So what we contend on claim construction is that the board got it wrong by not construing the phrase constructed for stretching and sustaining a tent roof in a way that it construes this claim term in a way that preserves the validity. Here the board was just going...
So your trouble is that our cases say we don't construe claims to preserve the validity?
Well, I suppose... My argument is that the board got it wrong under the law of claim construction as guided by this court. And the you know, it's more of a policy argument, Your Honor, to say that we shouldn't have the patent office be granting patents and then have the patent office then so easily invalidate patents. So maybe let's not do that. Maybe let's not have the board so easily construe a claim term like this in a way that's not in appropriate context of the invention, in a way that so easily brings in...
But that's the board's job. The board's job is to review patents and to determine whether this should have been granted a patent to begin with.
That is the board's job.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But in doing that job, we should also recognize that claim terms should be construed correctly, and that's why we're here on appeal, because we don't believe it was done correctly. Now, the Lynch reference, the secondary reference, again, there's nothing in Lynch that discloses the missing element. And we all agree that the missing element in Yang is that first claim element of a center pole constructed for stretching and sustaining. So Lynch, just like Yang, discloses a drape over a tent frame. The only difference is the center pole is pushed up and it's got more of a pitch in the roof of the tent. So there's really nothing different between Yang and Lynch, other than Lynch suggests, according to the board, that we could modify Yang to create more headroom inside the tent for a tall person standing in the middle. But that doesn't suggest or disclose, and certainly not giving a motivation, to have that tent over the frame be stretched in a way that adds the structural heft or structural significance to it, as we believe the claim should have been construed. So Lynch doesn't really add much. It certainly doesn't teach that Titan roof for structural purposes. Now, of course, some of our arguments obviously go together. You know, if the claim construction is confirmed correctly, you know, it doesn't allow some of our arguments to proceed. I admit that, Your Honor. But so that claim construction argument is first. And you see from the context of the 040 patent at issue that we've got side poles in the tent. They're spread out to the point where the frame and the ribs, you know, the ribs, the scissor-like ribs that provide that tension in the structure of the frame. And then you've got the tension in the tent material itself. But those ribs are fully extended, unable to move further, and kept in place by sliders on the frame. So again, this patent is not the first collapsible tent. So we have to look a little deeper, we suggest, to construe the claims correctly in the context of this invention. Now, the board said stretching in the scope of the 040 patent. So the board acknowledged. We've got to look a little bit of context. We've got to
you're into your rebuttal time. You want to save some?
Pardon?
You're into your rebuttal time.
Oh, I am sorry. Okay. I will save some. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Katzenellenbogen?
Good morning, Your Honors. So, this is a relatively simple issue on appeal here. It's really, the primary issue is the motivation to have modified Yang to include the center pole disclosed in Lynch. Yang and Lynch both describe instant canopies that have very similar structure to what's described in the 040 patent. They all have the side poles, they have the scissor ribs around the perimeter, and they have the center pole supports that go up to the apex. The only difference between Yang and the 040 patent is a disc at the apex, and Lynch was considered by the examining attorney during the prosecution of the 040 patent. And the patentee distinguished Lynch only on the basis that those supports that go from the side poles up to the apex are telescoping. The patentee never said anything about Lynch not having a center pole. Lynch does have a center pole. The only difference was that those supports that go up to the center pole are telescoping instead of hinged as they are in the claims of the 040 patent. The patent owner talks a lot about the benefit of tensioning the roof, adding some structural heft or support, but that's not described in the 040 patent. There's nothing in the 040 patent that talks about providing a structural heft by tensioning the roof. that there's simply no support for it. In the briefing below, the patent owner pointed to one figure in the 040 patent that shows some stippling that could be Velcro, that maybe would disclose attaching the roof to the side holes. But that's it. There's no discussion of it. There's no discussion about tensioning or strengthening the frame through tension. That's just not in the patent. So both the Lynch patent and the Yang patent describe the benefit of having increased headroom, which is what the 040 patent says it was trying to achieve, eliminating the structure underneath the roof to provide more space for people to stand, to have room for their head. And so one of skill in the art would have very clearly been motivated by, if nothing else, the disclosure in both the Yang patent and the Lynch patent to have taken these very similar structures and to have incorporated the center pole found in Lynch onto Yang to increase the headroom so that, particularly for somebody who's tall, as Dr. Klopp, the petitioner's expert, explained, particularly for somebody tall, it would be a big benefit to have that extra space under the roof, even between the center pole ribs. And so that's a strong motivation to combine these references. The patent owners spent a lot of time just now discussing the claim construction. And the board correctly construed the term stretching. That's really the term at issue here. The board construed that term in accordance with its ordinary meaning as spreading out. The patent owner would like to incorporate a requirement that there's tensioning of the roof by attaching it to the side poles, but there's nothing in the claim that even requires a roof, and certainly there's nothing in the claim that has any structure, that recites any structure for attaching that roof to the side poles. Those simply are not limitations that are in the claim, and there's no basis to limit the meaning of the term stretching to incorporate these extra limitations into the claim. As Judge Reyna, as you recognize, the specification discusses stretching in 11 different instances, and in every single instance, it's used to mean spreading out. There's no place in the patent, not a single one, where the term stretching is used to mean tensioning, as like with a rubber band. And as Dr. Klopp recognized, that wouldn't even make sense. Somebody of skill in the art would recognize that the roof material used for these canopies generally is a canvas. Nobody uses a rubber band material in a roof covering for these canopies. So it really wouldn't make sense in the context of this invention to construe stretching as requiring tensioning rather than simply spread out, as it's used in the specification of the patent. So the board's construction is well supported by the intrinsic evidence, both of the claim itself and the specification. It's also supported by Dr. Klopp, petitioner's expert. In his declaration, he explained that is how one of skill in the art would understand the term. So the board properly construed the term. And so additionally, in the briefing, the patent owner never explained in his briefs why the construction that the patent owner argues for, this tensioning, would make a difference as to the outcome of this obviousness ruling. He explained a bit more now, saying that Lynch doesn't disclose the center pole if it requires tensioning, as he understands it to mean, connecting the roof to the side poles to somehow provide some added support for the structure. But that's just not anything that's discussed as a benefit in the 040 patent. There's no disclosure in the 040 patent of any type of tensioning to increase the structural integrity. It's just not there. So there wouldn't be any basis to include that as a limitation. Additionally, the patent owner mentioned that one of the bases that the patent owner is relying on in this appeal was the board's decision to consider the petitioner's reply brief and the second declaration from Dr. Klopp. And that was entirely appropriate. The standard of review on that is abuse of discretion, and there's no basis to say that the board abused its discretion in considering the reply. The petition specifically discussed the motivation to combine, to modify Yang with Lynch to increase the headroom. And before the patent owner argued against it and made the argument about clear ceiling height, there was no way to anticipate the need to go into more detail about the benefits of being between the support poles that go up to the apex and the added room even with those support poles. So in the reply, the petitioner, and in Dr. Klopp's second declaration, he merely further explained that even though you still have those support poles from the side pole up to the apex, between those poles, there is additional headroom. And there was nothing in the petition that limited the motivation to needing higher clear ceiling height or room for, playing sports or moving around or those types of activities. And the board recognized that even there's no reason to even limit activities to things that require moving around as opposed to standing under the tent and being able to stand with more headroom. So the motivation to combine Yang to include that center pole of Lynch is well supported, both by, as I said, Lynch and Yang themselves, and by the testimony of Dr. Klopp, petitioner's expert. Additionally, in the briefing, the patent owner criticized the board for relying on Dr. Klopp's testimony, saying that it was conclusory. However, Dr. Klopp, both in his original declaration and in his second declaration, spent a number of paragraphs explaining why the prior art would motivate somebody, that both the Yang and Lynch references, specifically what in those references would motivate somebody to combine these two very similar structures to get that additional headroom. And in the supplemental declaration, which the board relied on, Mr. Klopp provided a nice diagram showing that extra headspace. And so it was a well-reasoned opinion. It wasn't at all conclusory. And the board was correct in relying on it and not excluding it.
What's your response to the argument that your friend on the other side makes, that your expert testimony should not be considered because there was no documentation that accompanied the testimony itself?
Because there was... So I think what you're referring to is...
And this goes to your comments regarding whether the expert's testimony was conclusory.
Right. Yeah. The allegation that it was just the ipsa dixit of the expert. So we cited a case that it was Perfect Web Technologies, acknowledging that it is appropriate for courts to rely on the common sense of someone skilled in the art, such as Dr. Klopp here. And in addition to his common sense explanation, he relies on the prior art itself, the statements in both Yang and Lynch, which extensively talk about the benefit. Lynch, for example, specifically says that the extended center pole provides the increased headroom, and Yang also describes the purpose of that invention as increasing space for activities for which the tent is used. And so, and Dr. Klopp, in his declarations, went into analyzing those the statements in those prior art patents and relied on those in addition to his common sense to, you know, to determine that there was a motivation to combine those references. So I think that there was no basis to exclude that testimony. The case that the patent owner relied on where an expert's testimony was excluded because it was conclusory was very strongly distinguishable from this one. It was nothing like this case. It involved improvements to electronic communication systems, and the patent at issue in that case had a purpose of reducing power consumption, and the two prior art patents didn't say anything about reducing power consumption. They were for entirely different purposes. Here, by contrast, the two prior art patents that we're relying on for obviousness were trying to solve the same problem as the 040 patent. They specifically talk about increasing headroom, which is the purpose that the 040 patent is trying to solve. So this is a situation where the prior art itself is very closely related. The structures that are disclosed are nearly the same as the structure in the 040 patent. There's very little difference. And they're all trying to solve exactly the same issue.
Okay, anything else?
I think that's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Lobham, you have about 2 minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor, and thank you for pointing out I did reserve time, and I've lost sight of that. A couple quick points. We're here. We shouldn't, based on obviousness grounds, especially where there's really a stretch, pardon the pun, to fit these prior art references into what's claimed. And I think we need to focus on that claim language, that first clause, stretching, constructed for stretching and sustaining a tense roof. Roof. Counsel stated, I believe I heard correctly, that nowhere in the patent is there a roof disclosed. It's right there. Roof. It's right in the claim. So I think we need to focus on that claim language. We need to focus on, let's not casually invalidate patents on loose obviousness grounds. And I think that's what's done here. On the reply evidence, you know, this is unusual. Even in district court, you file a motion, get your evidence in. Reply is not for new evidence. And if the argument was already in there, why do you need a reply declaration from the expert? And again, why was it not accompanied with any documentation? So there are several mistakes there, and the board relieved the appellee of the burden of all of them. New reply declaration, no documents, seemed to be fine. But in practice, it's not appropriate, and it should not have been relied on. And finally, regarding motivation to combine, you know, there's just nothing in Lynch or Yang that suggests we need that we need the Lynch reference to provide something that Yang is missing. Yang has adjustable side poles. If you need more room under the tent, just raise those poles up. So there was no reason to make that combination, and again, neither Yang nor Lynch discloses anything akin to what's claimed. We need to keep our focus on that center pole constructed for stretching and sustaining. Just like gravity is very different force than tension, like when you stretch your hamstring. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you